This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It is Selection Sunday. St. John's is a 2 seed, we know that. To break down the brackets and figure out the Johnny's path and a little UConn to talk about it, we bring in Zach Braziller from the New York Post, college basketball guru. Hey, Zach, how are you?
What's up, Lori? How are you?
I'm doing well. First question... I'll let one of the listeners have at you before we break things down in a big way. But, of course, one of the big stories around here, Matt wants to know, do you think the Johnnies have a chance to win it all?
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, I think it's pretty wide open, as well as Florida, as well as Auburn played, as well as good as I think Duke is, Houston. I mean, yeah. I mean, they're 30-4. Like they've been incredible. They haven't lost full strength since New Year's Eve. They're really good. It's not like a mirage. They're very good. Now, I do think the draw was, I wouldn't say it was a bad draw. I don't think it was a great one, but I think, you know, Texas Tech potentially in the Sweet 16 would be really tough. Florida in the Elite Eight would be really tough. Those are really good teams. But look, you get to that point in the tournament, you're going to face really good teams.
You're saying that their draw is not that bad. I actually went so far as to call their bracket the bracket of death. As I looked at all four of them, to me, theirs looked like the worst. And some of it is... you know, I know there's a lot of good teams, but Auburn hasn't played as well lately as much as they've been the best team in the country. Like, I make arguments. Iowa State with the Keyshawn Gilbert injury, I look at that and that bracket. Like, there are different things I can make the case. Florida right now, I just looked at that. The combination, when I look at that bracket, Florida, Texas Tech, and, you know, just up and down the bracket, even the coaches there, you know, that Bill Self and you know, John Calipari are going to be matching up for the right to play Patino and the Johnnies. It just looked to me like this was the toughest bracket.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. I think people are going to look at the names of Kansas and Arkansas and think they're better than they actually are. I don't think either team is that good. I don't think it's necessarily a really tough second round game. Whoever wins that game, I think Kansas probably wins. You know, I think it's more the second weekend teams. I think Texas Tech's the best 3 seed.
Texas Tech is a great 3 seed, and Florida just seems like they are the SEC team that's the hottest right now.
Yeah, they are the 4th number 1 seed, though. And just because they're hot going into the tournament doesn't mean they're gonna that's gonna stay that way. I don't think it's not an easy draw. I just don't think it is like an impossible draw.
All right.
It's not, like if they had to play Gonzaga in the second round, which to me was one potential concern, like they're not dealing with the team in the second round that's like gonna be like a team that you're saying, well, they have to play really, really well to win. Like, yeah, if they play okay, I expect them to win their second round game.
Yep.
And now, yeah, Sweet 16's been really hard, but I think, you know, you would have preferred to be in the South where you could play in Iowa State who's injured.
Right.
Potentially in the Sweet 16, and
yep.
And Auburn hasn't played great of late,
right.
But Auburn's still really, really good.
All right, so stepping back big picture, let's start with the what did you think the committee got right, and what did you think they got wrong?
I think North Carolina was ridiculous to be in. They're 1-12 in quad one games. Last year, all they said was, well, St. John's, Seton Hall, and Providence, the Big East teams that got snubbed, all they said was they don't have enough good wins, right? Now here you have a year later where North Carolina doesn't even have as many good wins as those teams have, and they're in. A Texas team that had 7 quad one wins, you know, was barely in. I mean, West Virginia had a better resume than North Carolina. I don't get, you know, I know they're going to say, well, you know, North Carolina had good resume metrics, which it did, because a lot of their losses were against really good teams. But in the same vein, it, you know, every year you hear, well, you have to beat teams in the tournament.
Yep.
And they didn't do that. And I know everyone's, you know, the talking point now is, well, they're just in because of the brand, because it's North Carolina. I don't know if it's quite that simple, but I just had a big problem with that. I had a big problem with Louisville's an 8 seed, and Louisville gets home games in the first two rounds.
That's an interesting one. Yep.
I mean, Auburn's the overall number one seed, and they're going to have to play a road game in their second round game. That, to me, makes no sense. Only the top 4 seeds are supposed to be, like, geographically protected and have, you know, home games like St. John's is in Providence, which
right.
is close to home. And it makes sense because there are 2 seeds. Like, Maryland's a 4 seed, and they got sent all the way to Seattle. Arizona's a 4 seed, and they get sent all the way to Providence. There's a lot of stuff they did that, to me, didn't really make a whole lot of sense. And my biggest issue with the whole thing is you have a different committee chair every year. You have different members every few years. And the problem is, this is something you hear from coach a lot, is there's a moving target. One year, you know, it's you need quad one wins. Then the next year, it's like, well, you got to avoid bad loss. Like there's no consistency with it, and it makes it tough when we get around to the bubble teams and some of the where teams get sent. There needs to be more consistency and more transparency year to year.
Yeah, that's the biggest issue that I have is the lack of consistency. That if I were a head coach, an athletic director, advising a team, I don't know that I would understand how I should schedule or what I should do if my team was on the bubble and got left out. I think about St. John's and Seton Hall from last year. And, you know, part of getting left out is, well, you don't have enough quality wins. And if it's supposed to be about not having enough quality wins, then I don't know how North Carolina gets in with a 1-12 record in quad one games. So they have one good win against UCLA the entire season, and they're in the tournament.
Right.
That feels like a moving target. And then the next thing we'll hear is that, yeah, you're right, that it's either about good wins or it's about bad losses, or you didn't schedule people enough, or your conference was down, or whatever it is. But it just seems to change year to year, and I'm not sure how I would act on that if I was a coach.
Yeah, it's got to be really frustrating for coaches. I mean, it's funny, every on Bracket Matrix, which lists like every single bracketologist there is, West Virginia was on every single bracket and somehow didn't make it.
Yep.
Which is, I mean, I was stunned they weren't in it. I almost forgot they weren't included at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, the North Carolina thing to me is, and the funny thing is, I think they're going to win a few games.
I know. I thought the same thing.
San Diego State first. And then, you know, if they win their first round game, then they would play an Iowa State team that doesn't have one of their best guards.
Right.
Sean Gilbert, who's got a groin injury. He's not going to play in the tournament. So, like, they're going to – I think they could get to a Sweet 16, which is crazy because we're all saying they don't deserve to be in. Like, they have played much better of late. I don't think there's any question about that. It's, you know.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I have them winning against San Diego State, and because of Keyshawn Gilbert, I have them actually advancing. And so everybody's going to do the "I told you so," like, look, the committee was right thing, but it still feels wrong to me with a 1-12 record. We're talking to Zach Braziller of The Post about March Madness. Zach, let's you know what? I'm going to go to one of my callers and let him hop on and ask us a question. Let's go to AJ in Port Jefferson. Hey, AJ, how are you?
Hey, Lori, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It was good to see you at spring training.
Great to see you, Lori.
Yeah, you want to ask a question? You want to ask me and especially Zach Braziller a question?
Oh, yeah, that'll be great. Zach, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm excited about my Johnnies. I'm kind of on the same path as Lori is in terms of I look at this region that St. John's got sent in. So would my question is for you, I guess, is with St. John's, to me, it's like Lori says, it's the region of death, in my opinion. I think it's probably going to be Kansas, and then a Texas Tech team with, if McMillan's healthy, that's a death match, and then you obviously run into the hottest team in the country in Florida. Would St. John's have been better off falling on that 3 line at this point, just the way that the bracket fell for them?
I mean, it depends, you know, the 3 line in what region. I mean, I wouldn't want to be the 3 line in the South and have to, you know, deal with Michigan State in the Sweet 16. I think the second round opponent could have been much tougher. Like I mentioned to Lori, you could be dealing with like Gonzaga,
right,
or someone like that. Or even like a Louisville. I think Louisville is better than Kansas or Arkansas. I don't think Kansas is very good at this point.
Don't you feel
really good? But
don't you feel like you bring up Gonzaga and I agree with I mean, Gonzaga's played good of late, but don't you think that a team like Kansas, whose roster is kind of set up the same as Gonzaga in a tougher conference, was built to win this year and obviously massively underachieved? So you think drawing a team like Kansas with a legend like Bill Self in the round of 32 is similar?
No, I think Gonzaga is much better than Kansas. I think they're much better than Kansas. I do. I don't think Kansas is that good. You know, they haven't played well for a few months now. Kansas kind of has this, you know, has like a middling seed we've seen in the last few years. They're not one of these teams that like tends to just go on these crazy runs. Usually when Kansas has the high seed is when they, you know, have big years. They're not, you know, they don't pull off these crazy runs when they have low seeds. They're not like Michigan State or Oregon where they go from a 6 or 7 seed and go to a Final Four. You know, I remember a few years ago they were like a 5 seed and they got blitzed by like 35 in the second round. Like I think St. John's takes care of Kansas. Now, Texas would be a really tough game. I don't think there's any question about that. But I'm not as, you know, worried about the second round. I think St. John's plays up to their capabilities. I think they have to play great. They just play up to their capabilities. They go to the Sweet 16.
Great to hear. I hope so. I hope it plays out the way. Thank you for getting me on with Zach, Laura. I appreciate that.
No problem. Take care, AJ. Good to see you. Good to talk to you. Talking to Zach Braziller from the New York Post. If you want to hop on and ask a question, you can hit me up on Twitter at L Rubinson, or you can call us at 888-808-1019. George, I see you. We'll get you on in a little bit. And so as I look at this, Zach, and you're thinking about your brackets, and we're going to give people advice, one of the things we always think about, the you know, where are the upsets coming? And we think about the 5-12, and we think about the 4-13 matchups. I saw a stat that The since 2018 on the 6-11 line, those two seeds are 12-12. So that for sure, the 6-11 is a good place to look for what on paper are upsets, but apparently, I guess maybe are not such a big upset. But for people who are looking for some upsets, but you know, you don't want to go too crazy or, well, I guess let's start there. What's your philosophy as you fill out a bracket on picking upsets, but having that balance of not creating a situation where by the second weekend, you're practically eliminated?
I don't know if I'm the right person to ask these questions. My wife usually beats me in the office pool. So, I don't know.
I was once beaten by a 7-year-old. I do feel like the more you know, the worse it is. At least for me, I end up overthinking the upsets. I pick somebody sneaky because I like it. And then somebody who, you know, just went chalk the entire way beat me.
Yeah, I think, you know, the year you pick a lot of upsets of the year, it's like all the favorites. And the years you pick the favorites is the year that they're all the upsets.
Right.
I mean, I really think, like, the less you know, the better. I might just have, like, print it out and just have, like, my dog pick each game.
All right, let's start with some principles. All right, so if we don't have, you know, okay. So one thing that I was saying off the top of the show is I do think there are some ways as you look at this that are about factors that correlate with tournament success, and I listed a few of them, but from your perspective, what are factors that you think consistently correlate with tournament success?
It's not like always going to work this way, but I do like the, you know, like to ride teams that have played well lately. Mm-hmm. I do think that is a factor, you know, like teams that have played consistently, not necessarily a team that's just won a conference tournament, but like teams that have been good for like extended stretches. Like Michigan, I wouldn't necessarily ride. Like, yes, they won the conference tournament. Before that, they had really been struggling. So like, mm-hmm. It could have just been, you know, a few games in a row where they found it a little bit. I like, you know, teams that have really played well for a while. You know, and I also think like the mid-major teams that have won a ton of games. Like, I don't care who you're playing. If you won 30 games, you're a good team. There's no doubt about it. Like, you're a good team. So, like, UC San Diego is going to be a very popular upset pick. They won 30 games. They're a really good team. I think that's a team that could definitely do some damage here. Like, you know, the mid-major that's, you know, won a million games, you know, is knows
Saint Mary's,
how to win.
A St. Mary's type of team.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, St. Mary's didn't work for me last year. I took them to the final four. They got lost in the first round. But, you know,
and they face Bama. They'll be stuck facing Alabama fairly early in this one. I'll give you one that I saw a stat on for people out there is that I find interesting is BYU. Now, they're a 6-11. They're a 6 seed. But I saw, you know, the NCAA added in some new metrics this year that they are using as a factor. And one of them, by one of those metrics, BYU, since like mid-February, was one of the, you know, top 4 teams in the country by that metric. Now, that may be picking and choosing and editing, but that would be an example of a team that for a month has been playing really good basketball.
Yeah, I mean, they've been really good. They beat Iowa State twice. They beat Arizona. They beat Kansas. Like, they've, I think they're a legit sleeper. I throw out a bracket breakdown in tomorrow's paper, and I had BYU going to the Elite Eight. I think teams that, you know, played really well for, you know, a month to 6 weeks, I think that stuff matters. I really do. Teams that have been inconsistent, like a Kansas, a Michigan, would kind of scare me a little bit.
Which coaches stand out to you? Obviously, Rick Pitino stands out, and we've had a front row seat here in these parts to the incredible job that he has done this season. But which coaches stand out to you as having done a particularly great job this year with the rosters they had?
Obviously it's the Big East, but I thought Greg McDermott did a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
Creighton finished second in the league. They lost one of their best players, Pop Isaacs, in December, and they were really shaking on conference. And they didn't really look like a tournament team. They ended up making the tournament. They got a 9 seed. I thought they'd be a little higher. I was a little disappointed they weren't more of a 7. And then their first round opponent, Louisville, Pat Kelsey. I mean, inherited an absolute disaster from Kenny Payne and has engineered an incredible turnaround. I think Kelsey and Pitino are probably two of the top choices for National Coach of the Year. I know people are putting John Shire up there, which I don't quite understand. I mean, he's a generational player, and Cooper Flagg and some other really good players. I think Kelsey has done a fantastic job. Pitino has done a fantastic job. Kelvin Sampson at Houston has turned that program into a Final Four contender every single year. I don't think Kelvin Sampson gets enough credit for how good of a coach he is. I think he's absolutely fantastic. Those are a few of the guys.
Let's look at that region. So that's the Midwest region. And that one does also look tough to me. You have Houston, but you also have Tennessee. Back to that SEC. First of all, what did you think? I know they obviously are the class of the country right now, the SEC. But what did you think about the SEC getting a record 14 teams into the conference? Is that a good thing or a bad thing when one conference is so, and they all seem fair, but like when one conference is that big and that dominant?
Yeah, I think they were deserved. The conference was great this year. It was absolutely incredible. And there weren't any teams that got in that I said, well, they shouldn't have gotten in. I think they all, deserved it. Mm-hmm. There was a question, about Oklahoma getting in before they had some really big wins late in the year. But yeah, it'd be one thing if there were a few teams that really weren't deserving of it. But I don't think there's any question about it. They deserved it. And it'll be interesting kind of to see how these teams fare in the NCAA tournament and how the conference backs up, this amazing regular season. But when you look at it, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky, Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi, you could go on and on. It was just a absolute minefield of a conference. I think there was one point Alabama had like a stretch of like 8 straight games against top 25 teams. It was incredible.
So that bracket of the Midwest, you've got Houston and you have Tennessee, who obviously had a fantastic season in the SEC as the number 2. Houston, as you mentioned, Kelvin Sampson has done a fantastic job, but has not been able to get one of those teams over the finish line and get to that championship over what has been an incredible career. With the job he's done at Houston, hasn't been able to, consistently getting there, but and having high seeds, but not being able to get to the finals with and get a championship with Houston. You look around down there, Illinois has played well. Kentucky and the job Mark Pope did, taking a team after Calipari that had no roster, nobody returning, and, was able to get that team to a solid record in a tough SEC. What are your thoughts on who comes out of that Midwest region?
The Midwest was my one... I tried to be, I guess, a little cute with, because I picked kind of more top seeds in the other three, and the Midwest was the last one I filled out. So I actually went with a little bit of a curveball. I picked Gonzaga. I think they're playing great.
Wow.
I love their point guard, Ryan Nemhart.
Nemhart, yeah.
They have good big guys. It's a little bit of a reach, but I watched them against St. Mary's the other night. I thought they were really good. I think they won 9 of 10. They, what's weird, their resume-wise, they're an 8 seed, and it was fair. But in terms of like where they're rated by like the analytics sites, like in KenPom, they're not. So if you're Houston, you got to be absolutely perplexed. How do we have to deal with this team in the second round?
Mm-hmm.
So I went with a sleeper there in the Midwest, and I picked Gonzaga, so they'll probably lose in the first round.
We're talking to Zach Braziller from the New York Post. All right, George, let's get another caller on. King George from the Bronx. George, you're on with me, but also with Zach Braziller from the New York Post, which means that I know you usually like to read me a poem, but since you're also on with Zach, you don't have to read Zach a love poem. You could just ask your basketball question.
Okay, well, you are a poem and yes. A world-renowned beauty in and of yourself.
Yes.
And it's a pleasure talking to you, Zach. And you know what? I'm glad St. John stopped making the mistake that a lot of these schools do. They'll get a guy who was an all-time great at this school, hire him as a head coach, and he flames out. Look at Georgetown when they hired Patrick Ewing, St. John's when they hired Chris Mullen, and Houston when they hired Clyde Drexler. It just doesn't work. You got to get the coach, because for some reason in college basketball, the coach can make and break a program, not a former great player.
All right. Thoughts on that, Zach?
Yeah. I mean, you could go to Eddie Jordan at Rutgers, and there's plenty of other. I mean, Mike Woodson at Indiana, it hasn't really worked. I mean, the star player coming back to his alma mater doesn't work, especially because a lot of these times these are guys who haven't really coached in college, who've just been NBA guys. And,
yeah, my producer Connor just threw out Adrian Autry and Syracuse.
Yeah, it's a little early. I mean, at least Adrian has been a college assistant though.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Ewing, was never a college coach. Mullen was never a college coach. Drexler was never a college coach. Eddie Jordan was never a college coach. And I'm not quite ready to say Autry will work. Obviously, he's struggling, but yeah, it he's right. It doesn't work for the most part. I mean, it's just the NBA and college are such different games. And a lot of these guys were just NBA assistants or whatever they, maybe general managers in Mullen's case. And it's like apples and oranges, the two sports. It's so different. And he's right. I mean, a good college coach, I mean, look at what happened in St. John's in 2 years. Look at, I mentioned Louisville, Pat Kelsey. I mean, a good coach can, and especially now with the portal and how quickly you can flip a roster, a good coach can change your program overnight. And, you see so many examples of this. I mean, you mentioned Mark Pope at Kentucky, where they didn't have a roster, and now they're, a three seed. Dan Hurley took over.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. Like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. you live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For the UConn program, that was kind of a bit of a mess after Kevin Ollie. And he went back to that championship. Like, you have a good college coach to, you know, kind of change things right away.
So you mentioned Dan Hurley. UConn is, for them, obviously, it's a down year. The transfers, the rosters, the talent they lost to the NBA, it doesn't pan out after back-to-back championship seasons, which was kind of a marvel that they were able to do that. So this year, a down year, a bit of a rebuild, I guess, a reload for them. And we'll see with, I think in the past you've referenced, with recruiting class and how they'll come back for next year. But they're an 8 seed, and the 8-9, they draw Oklahoma in that West Regional in the first round. What are your thoughts on UConn, and how would you scout that matchup? Do they match up well against Oklahoma?
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to play much better defense than they did against Creighton. They're a good offensive team, UConn. Obviously not the same, but they're still a good offensive team when you have really solo ball. They have some really good shooters, but they've struggled defensively all year. They've been very inconsistent defensively all year, and Oklahoma can score the ball. If UConn doesn't play much better defense than they did the other night, they're going to be one and done. I would expect they'll play better. I know Hurley thinks that getting out of the Big East, which is so physical, and thinks that more, freedom of movement in the NCAA tournament will help UConn a little bit. I'm more concerned about them on the defensive end. Like, their offense is fine. It's their defense that is a problem. It's why they haven't had a great year. They can't defend like they have in recent years. And if they got past Oklahoma, they got to deal with a red hot Florida, which is not a matchup for anyone, basically, the way Florida's playing right now. They're gonna have to play much better defense than they have of late to advance.
We got another caller, Ed in the Bronx. Go ahead, Ed. You're on with me, with Lori, and with Zach Braziller from the New York Post.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the St. John's Red Storm.
Sure.
I mean, it's been a long time for the Red Storm, and I remember them from the days of Chris Mullin, Walter Berry, and Mark Jackson. I mean, he just transforms any program that he comes in conflict with. Like, I don't know. This maybe they could go to the to the 32, maybe to the Sweet 16, but he got these guys believing, and it's every program he went to, he touched and made these guys, like, the program so much better. So I just want to give a big up to, like, Rick Pitino, because it's just outstanding, man, that this guy is able to do what he's doing with these kids. Because even if they don't become top-notch players to the pro level, they're top-notch players in the business world, the real world, the working. I mean, he's doing it. So I give this guy a lot of credit for that, because everybody's not going to make it to the pros. Mm-hmm. St. John's had various people that went, Shelton Jones, Willie Glass, mm-hmm. they didn't pull him out. You understand? But I got to give a lot of credit to Rick Pitino, and I'm just going to be rooting for them because I'm just an all-New York fan. St. John's, the New York Knicks, the Yankees. I don't really care for the Mets that much, but it's okay. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, and I appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy, Ed. I think Ed does express what a lot of people are feeling, and whether you're a Yankee or a Met fan or a Giant or a Jet fan, I think there are a lot of, Zach, as you've watched this season unfold and the energy as Rick Pitino has made Madison Square Garden the home of St. John's and the city, St. John's, the city's team, in a way that is uniting this city, no matter what your other professional rooting interests may be, is, you know, what is, in your mind, like, what's been the most impressive aspect of what Pitino has been able to accomplish this year?
Yeah, I think it's the full house at the Garden, the enthusiasm, the excitement. I mean, the crowd last night, I've never heard the Garden. I've covered this team for a decade. I've never heard the Garden like that for St. John's. Mm-hmm. It was an incredible, incredible atmosphere. You know, he said it, that's like, he thought he would win. I don't think he thought they would win this much right away, but he thought they would win. He said his biggest surprise is how his fan base has kind of rallied around this team and how New Yorkers have rallied around this team. And I agree. I mean, I think they sold out about four games, Big East games this year. And, you know, they moved the Seton Hall game to the Garden because there was such fan, there was such demand for tickets. And, you know, people are really excited in a way that I've never seen covering this team. It's, you know, it's fun. You know, people are, it's a fun team. It's a very likable team.
Yeah.
And people have really, you know, grown to appreciate it and really come out. And, you know, I last night was, you know, it was one of those nights I think St. John's fans are going to remember forever, just because, not only because they won, but just because of the way the building was and the whole scene and the whole feeling of it. You know, people thought St. John's would never get to this level again. I didn't know if they could. You know, and Pitino's kind of really made it all happen, and it's happened really fast. It's happened faster than, you know, I mean, I think if he's dead honest, if he gave his honest answers, it's happened faster than probably he thought it could happen.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure we all know his teams improve in year two, year three, all of that, but this level of jump, and to be a top 10 team in the country, to be a 2 seed, to win the Big East regular season, to win the Big East tournament, all of that, and to your point, to sell out the Garden. And this will now be the 6th team that Rick Pitino has brought to the NCAA tournament, something no other coach has done. One thing that I was struck by with all of the discussion of the success that he's had in the last few days, Pitino seems sensitive to the NIL, to the nil money, and to whether this was a team that was bought. And so I was curious your thoughts both on his sensitivity to that and to the fairness of that claim.
You know, I think it helps, no question. But I also think it's not why they won. You know, there are schools that have significantly higher NIL payrolls than them. Kansas State spent a ton of money. Washington spent a ton of money. Arkansas spent a ton of money. There are plenty of others. And, you know, two of the three best players were guys who were here last year and, you know, went from, like, role players and, you know, bench guys to stars. RJ Lewis and Zubi Ejiofor. Like, mm-hmm. They're not, you know, they're obviously getting some NIL, but, like, I know Zubi Ejiofor for a fact didn't get any more money than he got last year. And he went from a backup to a superstar. RJ Lewis, you know, had probably showed a lot of potential last year in brief spurts, but he was injured a lot, and he's become a superstar. Now, yes, did they go out and spend money and get Kadari Richmond and Davon Smith? Yeah, they did. But, you know, you see plenty of schools who spend a ton of money and it doesn't work. It doesn't, spending money, you know, we see in pro sports all the time, spending money doesn't equal success. It did for the Dodgers last year, but it's not an automatic that just because you spend money, you're going to win. I think he does have a point that that St. John's isn't just winning because they're just throwing money at players. I mean, they developed two guys in Lewis and Ejiofor, and even Simeon Wiltshire to a lesser extent, who were not necessarily top players on the team last year and became top players in the league this year. That's not about NIL. That's about player development. That's about having the right kind of guys who are going to work hard and are going to be determined to get better. So I do think he has a point. I don't think it does have a role. There's no question about that. I did a big story a few weeks ago about kind of how they built this team and the role of NIL, and the associate head coach, Steve Maffiello, had a really good quote in it where he said, you can't win without NIL, but just because you have it doesn't mean you're going to win. And I thought that was a pretty good quote, just because, you have to use the money correctly. And we see that in pro sports all the time, that teams that use the money correctly win and teams that don't lose.
Yeah, and some of this, of course, it's coaching players up, but also the level of preparedness of this staff and level of coaching. And you mentioned Steve Maffiello. I think it was you who posted this, but I saw somebody post this tonight that R.J. Lewis saying that as soon as they, St. John's, found out who their first-round matchup was going to be, that it was going to be Omaha, that he saw Steve Maffiello walk up to Rick Pitino and hand him a binder. Like, they said, Omaha, like, here's your prep for Omaha. Like, it was ready. Like, which you would assume they looked at the field, analyzed any potential first-round matchup, and they were already prepared with the scouting report.
I mean, some of the stories I hear, the hours the coaches put in and the staff are mind-blowing. I mean, he's not easy to work. Rick Pitino's not easy to work for. It's not just the players. He's incredibly demanding. In March, they put in hours upon hours upon hours. They do not sleep a lot. They're really successful because they work incredibly hard. And that goes to the players, that goes to the coaches, that goes to everyone. It's not an accident. It's a formula he's had forever. But it's not just because of the money. It's not just because of talent. They really have worked for this.
All right, last one before I let you go. Who do you have in the Final Four, and who do you have winning it all?
I mentioned Gonzaga. I have Duke. I have Michigan State. And I have Florida. I have Florida over St. John's in the Elite Eight. And I have Duke winning it all. I just think Flagg is that good. I think some of the other guys who are going to be in the NBA, Knupple, are that good. I think Duke's the best team. I felt they've been the best team for a few months. I don't think their draw is very hard. I like Duke to win it all. And I have my surprise with Gonzaga. I think Michigan State's terrific. I think Michigan State's a lot like St. John's. I think whoever was going to, I think St. John's would have made the Final Four if they were in the South. I just think Florida's a little too tough for them. I think Florida's really, really good. I think that'll be a great, great game. I think St. John's will find a way to get past Texas Tech. But I think Florida's just going to be a little too much for them.
Yeah, I think Florida, it pains me to say it, head versus heart, but I have Florida over St. John's there. And I have a final of Florida and Duke. And I was edging Florida in the final, but to win it all. But yeah, to me, those are the two best teams. Zach,
yeah. Hard to argue.
Yeah. Zach Braziller from the New York Post does a fantastic job covering college sports, college basketball, St. John's, all of it. You should be following him in the Post and on social media. Zach, appreciate the time. We'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Lori. Have a good one.
Quick break.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
If you love your phone, but not your carrier, just switch to T-Mobile. You can keep your phone, keep your number, and we'll help pay it off up to $800 per line. You can also use our savings calculator to compare our plans and streaming benefits against Verizon and AT&T. So, switch and keep your phone, keep your number, and keep more of your moolah at T-Mobile.com.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, port in 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.